بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، this is our sixth week of reading from حياة الصحابة. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us barakah in this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us success in this endeavor. Just to remind the brothers and sisters that as we sit here, we should sit here with the intention of learning. We should sit here with the intention of achieving a closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, achieving a greater love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters our hearts, as the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters our hearts, this makes it easier for us to carry out and participate in actions of deen. At the same time, we have to clean our hearts of filth. We have to clean our hearts of sin by doing istighfar, by doing tawbah, by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him for forgiveness. As we sit here and we are doing good deeds, and good deeds, they remove the bad deeds. However, the major sins that we may have committed during the day, those we need to do tawbah for. Similarly, if we have hurt someone, if we have offended someone, if we have eaten rights of someone, then we should turn to them and apologize to them to make up for the pain that we have given them. Every day we should reflect on our daily lives. That today, what good did we do? What sins did we commit? And this way, it will be easier for us to evaluate ourselves and become better Muslims and become better people, inshallah. So inshallah, today we shall carry on with the reading of Hayat al-Sahaba. We had reached page number 89 of volume 1. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id bin Al-As radiallahu anhu to Islam. Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id bin Al-As radiallahu anhu was one of the first people to accept Islam. He was one of the first of his brothers to accept Islam. His path to Islam started with a dream that he saw. In his dream, he saw himself standing on the edge of a blazing fire. He mentioned that the fire was so large that only Allah knows its vastness. In this dream, he saw his father pushing him into the fire while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was holding him by the waist so that he should not fall in. This scene frightened him so much that he woke up with the shock. When he awakened, he said to himself, "This is definitely a true dream." Thereafter, he met Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anh and related the dream to him. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anh said to him, "Good is in store for you. He, yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the Nabi of Allah. So do follow him. The interpretation of your dream is you will follow him and enter into Islam with him. Thereafter, this Islam will save you from entering the fire of Jahannam where your father is at the moment." Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anh then met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Ajyad district and said to him, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to what do you call me?" He replied, "I call you to the one Allah who has no partner, and to believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant, is his servant and Rasul. I call you to renounce your worship of stones that cannot hear, cannot cause harm. They cannot be of benefit to you, for they do not even know those who worship them from those who do not worship them." Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu said, "I testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and I testify that you are the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was extremely happy when Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu then stayed away from his home. When his father discovered that he had accepted Islam, he sent someone to look for him. When the person brought him before his father rebuked him very harshly and started beating him with the whip he had in his hand. He beat Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu so severely that the whip broke as it struck his head. His father then said, "By Allah, I shall not give you anything to eat." To this, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu said, "If you do not give me anything to eat, then Allah shall definitely provide for me and I will pass my life." He then left and went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thereafter, he constantly remained in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear respected brothers and elders, we can learn quite a lot from this incident. One, that hidayah is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand. For example, in the case of Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu, that he seen a dream that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seen a dream. And because of this dream, he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked for advice and he accepted Islam. This is, hidayah is in the hands of Allah. We may make 1,000 efforts on one person, but they may not understand. And from nowhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring someone else who we have made zero effort on, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them into Islam. This is why we should constantly do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, that He guides our Muslim brothers and sisters, those who are on Islam, that He guides them to doing good deeds. And those who are not on Islam, that He guides them to come to Islam. And this was the effort. We do not look at how many people are accepting Islam. We should look and concentrate on our own efforts and take our own benefit from this. Secondly, let us look at how the father reacted. Let us read on to the next paragraph, and inshallah, we will comment further. According to another narration, his father sent their slave Rafi to look for him, along with Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu's other brothers who had not yet accepted Islam. When they found him, they brought him to his father Abu Uhayya. His father started rebuking him and beating him with a whip that he carried in his hand. He beat him so severely that the whip broke on his head. His father then said, "Do you follow Muhammad when he opposes his people and finds faults with their gods and their forefathers who have passed away?" Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu said to his father, "By Allah, he's speaking the truth and I follow him." Thereupon his father became very angry and started swearing and saying, "You despicable person, go wherever you please. I swear by Allah that I shall stop feeding you." In reply, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu said, "If you stop feeding me, and then Allah shall grant me enough sustenance with which to live." His father chased him out of the house and said to all his other sons that they will receive the same treatment if they ever spoke to Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu then left his father and was the constant companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. According to another report, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu hid from his father in the gullies of Makkah. And when the second group of Sahaba radiallahu anh migrated to Abyssinia, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anh accompanied them. When his father Sa'id bin Al-As ibn Umayyah fell ill, he said, "If Allah removes this illness from me, the God of Ibn Abil Qabsha, Rasulullah sallallahu will never be worshipped in the valley of Makkah." To this, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Allah, do not remove the illness from him." Subsequently, he died with that illness. My dear respected brothers and elders, from this, look at the conviction that the kuffar, that the disbelievers had in their own false gods. They were worshipping idols. Their traditions were incorrect. Yet, they had such conviction and such belief in them that we do not have in Islam today. That if someone went against their beliefs, that if someone went against their way of life, if someone went against their religion, they would rebuke them. And even if it was their own children, they would beat them. They would beat them. Today, we do not hold that quality within us for Islam. Today, we do not hold that same conviction, that same belief that these people had in the false gods, in the false ways, in the wrong ways. We do not have that same belief in the correct, in the path of Islam. We do not have that same belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why that when we see people changing Islam, we see people changing Islam, going against the Islamic traditions, going against the Islamic teachings, we stay silent. We stay silent. Yet, in the time of the Quraysh, in the time of the Kuffar, and with every Prophet alayhi salam that came, the people stood against them, standing firm on their falsehood. Today we were on truth, but we could not stand firm. Today we are on the right religion, we are on the right track, we are worshipping the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we are shy to stand strong, we are shy to stand firm. We are willing to accept wrong things happening in the name of Islam. We are willing to accept that people change the deen that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us, that they change the traditions of Islam. We can learn from here, from this story, we can learn how the Quraysh was strong on their falsehood. And this is how strong we have to become on upon our deen. This is how strong we have to become upon our deen. Let us continue reading, inshaAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anh to Islam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anh narrates that Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anh was a man from the Adishawa, is a hard word, Adishanua tribe, who used to cure insane people and people affected with the evil spirits using some words that he recited. He had heard some foolish people of Mecca saying that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an insane man. He said to them, "Where is this man? Perhaps Allah will cure him at my hand." When he met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "I recite certain words by which I cure people. Indeed, Allah has cured at my hand those people whom He wished to cure. Come, let me cure you as well." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thrice repeated the following sermon. "Verily, all praise is to Allah. We praise Him and seek help from Him. There can be none to misguide the person whom Allah has guided, and there can be none to guide the person whom Allah has caused to go astray. I testify that there is none worthy of worship besides the one Allah who has no partner." Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anh said, "By Allah, I have never heard of the words of fortune tellers. By Allah, I have heard of the words of fortune tellers, the words of magicians, and the words of poets. However, I have never heard such words before. Give me your hand so that I may pledge allegiance to you on Islam." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then accepted his pledge of allegiance and said to him, "Is this pledge on behalf of your people as well?" Hazrat Imad radiallahu anhu replied, "It is for my people as well." My dear respected brothers and elders, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an example for us. Every opportunity was an opportunity of da'wah. His actions were da'wah. His actions were an invitation to Islam. Even those who came to him to try and cause him problems, he would give them da'wah. Like in this situation, Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afflicted, thinking that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed treatment. And instead, he received the gift of Iman, and he walked away with the gift of Iman through one meeting. Just by meeting the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the gift of Iman. Let us carry on reading, inshaAllah. It once occurred that some Muslim soldiers were passing the tribe of Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu. That the leader of the soldiers asked them, "Did any of you take something from these people?" One soldier replied, "Yes, I have their water jug with me." To this, the leader replied, "Then return it to them because these are the people of Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu." According to another narration, Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Repeat those words to me because they reach the depth of the ocean of eloquence." Abdul Rahman Adawi reports that Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu said, "I went to Makkah to perform Umrah and was sitting in a gathering together with Abu Jahl, Utbah bin Rabi, and Umayyah bin Khalaf. Abu Jahl said, 'This man has disunited us. He makes us look foolish and claims that those of us who have passed away were misguided. He also insults our gods.' Umayyah said, 'There is no doubt that this man is certainly mad.' Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu says that he said to himself, 'But I am able to cure people affected with evil spirits.' He then left the gathering and started looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, after searching the entire day, he was unable to find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anywhere. The following day, he again set out to search for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and finally found him performing salah behind the maqam Ibrahim. Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu says that he then sat down. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had completed the salah, Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu said to him, 'O son of Abdul Muttalib,' Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to him and replied, 'What do you want?' Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu replied, 'I am able to cure people afflicted by evil spirits. If you wish, I can cure you as well. Do not think that your illness is of great concern because I have cured people who were even more ill than you are. I have just come from some of your people who have nothing good to say about you. They say that you are insane, that you have caused disunity amongst them, and that you refer to their forefathers as being misguided. They also say that you insult their gods. I have therefore come to the conclusion that only an insane person would do such things.' Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said the following, 'Verily, all praise is for Allah. I praise him and seek help from him. I believe in him and have complete trust in him. There can be none to misguide the person whom Allah has guided, and there can be none to guide the person whom Allah has caused to go astray. I testify that there is none worthy of worship besides the one Allah, who has no partner. I testify that Muhammad is the servant of Allah and his Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.'" Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu says that he had never heard such words from anyone before. He then requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to repeat the words, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated twice thereafter. Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu continues the story of saying, "I asked, 'To what are you calling people?' Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, 'I call people to believe in one Allah who has no partner. I absolve myself from worshipping idols and I testify that I am the Rasul of Allah. What shall I receive if I also do the same?' asked Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'You shall receive Jannah.' Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu exclaimed, 'I testify that there is none worthy of worship besides the one Allah who has no partner. I remove the idols from my neck and express that I have absolved myself from them. I also testify that you are certainly the servant and Rasul of Allah.' Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu says, 'Further, I started living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until I had learnt many surahs of the Quran. Thereafter, I returned to the people.' Abdullah ibn Abdir Rahman Adawi says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once dispatched an army under the command of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. The army got some camels from a certain place and were taking them along as they went. When Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu found out that the camels were taken from the people of Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu, he commanded that the camels be returned. My dear respected brothers and elders, another great lesson to learn here is that look, that Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu, he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had already made his own conclusions. He had already decided in his mind that this is an afflicted person, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has some mental difficulties. And when he made this statement to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not offended. Instead, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam nicely explained to him and he invited him to Islam. Today, when people come to us aggressively, or when people come to us making their own conclusions, we should also treat them in the same manner. We should calm them down, take control of the situation, explain to people nicely, show them the akhlaq of Islam. Show them the akhlaq of Islam. Just because someone is being judgmental, just because someone has made a judgment regarding us which is false, that does not mean that we be rude to them. That does not mean we be disrespectful to them. In fact, it means this is a chance for us to give da'wah. This is a chance for us to give da'wah. And this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through his akhlaq, through his manners, through his characteristics, what we are learning here. He did not start fighting or arguing. He didn't start rebuking the person. Oh, who do you think you are to judge me? No. Instead, he gave him da'wah, he explained to him deen, he explained to him what Islam is. It's through the actions and characteristics of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that so many people turned to Islam, that so many people accepted Islam. It was not only through his words, it was not only through the Quran. It was through his actions that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave guidance to so many people. So this is something very important to learn for us today also. Today, whenever we see something, we become judgmental. Or when someone judges us, we don't like it, yet we judge other people. And when someone judges us in return, we give them hatred. We give them ill words. We give them bad du'as. No, this was not the practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The characteristics of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was kindness, was understanding. He showed them what Islam is. And this is what we have to show people around us what Islam is. We cannot stoop down to the level of the people by becoming the very people they think we are, just because they are being judgmental. Let us carry on, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invites Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu to Islam, who was the father of Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu. This is not Hussein radiallahu anhu, his grandson. This is another Sahaba radiallahu anhu that was present at that time. The Quraysh highly respected Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. One day, some members of the Quraysh approached Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu and said to him, "Go to this person. Yani go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and speak to him on our behalf, because he insults our gods." Consequently, these members of Quraysh proceeded with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu until they reached the door of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's house. When Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu sat near the door, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the many people who had already gathered there, "Make way for the respected elder." Amongst those present was the son of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, whose name was Imran radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu said, "What is happening here? The news has reached me that you insult our gods, whereas your father was a devout and excellent man." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "O Hussein, my father and your father are both in Jahannam. O Hussein, tell me how many gods you worship." Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu replied, "I have 7 gods on earth and 1 in the sky." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam further asked him, "Which god do you call for when you are in difficulty?" Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu replied, I then call to the one in the sky. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Who do you call when your wealth gets destroyed? He replied, The one in the sky. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, It is strange that only this one God comes to your assistance, yet you associate others as partners to him. Do you have permission from the gods in the sky, from the God in the sky, to associate the others as his partners? Or are you afraid of these other gods thinking they will harm you if you do not associate them as partners? Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu replied, Neither of these two statements is correct. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu says, It then occurred to me that I had never spoken to such a great personality before this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said further, O Hussein, become a Muslim and you will live in peace. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu responded by saying, What about my people and my family? What would they say if I accept Islam? What am I to do now? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised him to recite the following dua, O Allah, I seek your guidance towards that which is more correct and increase me in knowledge that will benefit me. Hazrat Hussein recited this dua and was a Muslim before he stood up from the gathering. At that instant, his son Hazrat Imran radiallahu anhu immediately stood up and began kissing the head, hands and feet of his father. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam began weeping when he saw this and said, I am weeping because I was touched by what Imran has done. He did not stand for his father nor pay any attention to him when he entered as a kafir. However, he fulfilled the right of his father once his father entered the fold of Islam. When Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu stood up to leave, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the others, Stand up and take him home. As soon as Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu emerged from the doorway, the people of Quraysh who had been waiting there for him saw him and said, He has forsaken his religion. They then left him and dispersed. My dear respected brothers and elders, if we look at this story, think of it. This was when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was being confronted about Islam. That people came to confront him. This was a confrontation that people came to confront him and question him regarding his statements. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even when being confronted, even when being questioned, he stood on the truth that no, this is the truth. That when Hussein radiallahu anhu asked him that this is what they are saying you are doing, he did not say, no, I'm not. He accepted and he explained and he gave da'wah. He did not fear. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not fear that, oh no, look how everyone is here. What am I going to do? Now I'm going to have to say something else. No, he did not fear. And what happened? That the very person who came to confront him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided that person to Islam. And even when this person came to confront him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat with him respectfully. They sat him down and they spoke. This is the manner of Islam, my dear respected brothers and elders. This in the manner that we conduct ourselves in the teachings of Islam with the characteristics of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are the characteristics we have to bring into our lives. And once we bring these characteristics into our lives, this becomes our characteristics regardless of who we meet. Regardless of who we meet, this becomes our characteristics, this becomes our habit, this becomes our akhlaq, this becomes our manners. And in this manner, we can then give da'wah whenever we meet someone, when we are talking to them, we are inviting them to Islam. Regardless if they are Muslim, we are inviting them towards good deed. If they are non-Muslim, we are inviting them towards Islam. And this becomes our practice through our words, through our akhlaq, and through our actions. And this will also become a reminder for us and ourselves. Because when our heart is inclined towards sin, we will remember our own words. that wait, I am advising people not to sin, and we will remember our own words, and that will put the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, and we will move away from that sin. We will move away from that sin. This is why giving da'wah, calling people towards Islam, is very important. It is not something small, because by calling people towards Islam, constantly calling people towards Islam, more people will become inclined towards Islam, and we will help protect our own iman. We will help protect our own iman. And this is what we see, you know, from all these stories that we have been reading over the last few weeks. This whole chapter that we have been reading, this we started from around page 67 or 68, and it's been about almost 30 pages. It's been how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been giving da'wah to people, how he has been inviting them to Islam. So we can learn from this. So we can understand that this was not a one-off occasion that, okay, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave da'wah, the invitations, this one person and that one person. No. At every opportunity, at every opportunity, different people, we give da'wah invitation to Islam in a different way. We give different people invitation to Islam in a different manner, in a manner that they will understand. When someone is talking to us, you know, we have a very bad habit, many of us, and it is also in me, that when someone is talking to us, we are looking in some other direction. No, we should practice the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when someone is talking to us, we should turn our body towards them and give them our full attention. This is what Islam teaches us. When we see someone in need, we should help them regardless if they are Muslim, if they are non-Muslim. We should try and help them. That's the story comes to mind where the old lady, she was, just to say concisely, in a short manner, that she was moving, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam helped her with her luggage. He did not see that this is an old lady. What, he helped her carry her luggage. And the lady was actually moving because she wanted to move away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was scared. She had heard stories that there's a person who is using magic and he is moving people away from the religion of the forefathers. This is why she was moving. And she advised the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that be careful of this person. And at the end of the journey, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her that I am that very person, that's when she accepted Islam. How? By seeing the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how powerful the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam are. So imagine if we bring this very akhlaq in us, in our lives, in our actions, what power that they will hold. And we bring it into our lives and we practice it because it is the akhlaq and the mannerism of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we do istighfar to clean our hearts. And when we take in the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these akhlaq are of good manners, we automatically will start becoming better people. We will become better Muslims. We will become better neighbors. We will become better parents. We will become better children. We will become better students. So let us end here, alhamdulillah, and let us ponder over what we have learned today. Let us think about all the lessons and just ask ourselves this question. But how many times a day do we spend in the work of deen? I don't mean the work of deen. I'm not talking about praying our salah. I'm not talking about reading our Quran. I'm not talking about reading about the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm not talking about doing zikr. But how much time do we spend during the day inviting people to Islam? When was the last time we ever invited someone to Islam? When was the last time we talked to someone and we told them that, look in the Quran, read the Quran. Allah says this about Musa alayhi salam, Moses. Allah says this about Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. How would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam know all these things about the past? And if we also look into the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sleeping position in Islam is the recovery position. That has been established. It was established long ago, but the recovery position, when a person faints or when a person becomes unconscious, they put him in a recovery position that helps the blood flow around the body. That is the same as the sleeping position in Islam. So that when a person is asleep, the blood can flow easily around the body. How would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam have known this? These are some facts, some details we can use when talking to people, when calling them towards Islam, to showing them the lie that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did and what is being proven today. For this, we need ilm, we need to study, we need to learn a few things. We can practice by giving dawah, to inviting each other to Islam. And inshallah, guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our responsibility is to make the effort. And by making the effort, we are primarily reminding ourselves that dawah, and we feel refreshed. When we start inviting people to Islam, we feel totally refreshed. Our heart feels so fresh. It is like we are in a different josh, in a different, I would say we have that different type of energy now, because we are doing the work of deen. We are doing the work of deen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to invite people towards Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to stay on the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being a means of fitna. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.